The opinions expressed are those of the show hosts and may not necessarily be of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of the Technology Blog and Podcast Series, Podcast 358. I am Jared Reimer, and we're going to start this program off with a demo of an app called Stripe. It's not as intuitive as I would like, but you can do some features with your Stripe account that might be of interest, including looking at the data of money that you make, customer data, and even issue refunds. I walk you through the app, which is fully accessible. Next, people doing things, but yet not getting in trouble for terms of service violations. Just look at the news from the past week or so, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Mr. Trump, yes, I'm talking about you. But yet, I'm sure this might apply to others that might do things that violate terms of service and get away with it. And blatantly do it too. And finally, a podcast which I'm going to talk about a little bit in the next security box. But on this episode, we're talking about the dark net itself. Selling drugs, getting caught, and the consequences. Although I don't give anything away, I do tell you the episode of the podcast that I listen to, a little bit of the story, talk about the fact that I could talk about all these various things and give an example with Jaws and the like, and how there's so much to talk about. But yeah, we want to make the podcast of interest to people too. My contact information is at the end of the program. But quickly, email iMessage Tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And without any further ado, let's get started with today's edition of the Technology Podcast. Here is the demo on Stripe. Well, I thought for the first podcast of 2021, I would do something a little bit different in the demo department. Now, I've never used this app before, and my goal is not to charge anybody or even attempt to charge anybody. And the app I'm talking about is Stripe. Now, I have used the web interface, which is pretty accessible. And I added a customer, and of course, one of my customers paid me directly through FreshBooks, which we've talked about on this podcast many times. But I know that sometimes it's just easier to run somebody's credit card. And for a new customer who gave his name out once before, we'll call him Michael in Tennessee. I just decided to run his credit card for the website that he wants to run. You can visit his blog at foamtalk.me, and he'll be posting stuff, I'll be posting stuff, and we'll see where it goes. I maintain the blog, so if there's any updates or anything that needs to be going on, I'll take care of things. In any case, he's one of several customers of mine, and he decided to have his card just ran. So he gave it to me, and I stored it somewhere. And then I figured I'd play with the ad with customer on the web, and I can select it. And it tells me that I can use my arrow keys, but it turns out I have to use my mouse, and I get it to work. And I remember that there's an app, and I figured, why not? Why not check it out? Why not see if it will work better for me? Now again, I haven't used it. It's gone through an update at least once. And so I figured, let's give it a spin. I have an iPhone 11, which I got last year. And we're going to go ahead and launch the app. And if it wants me to sign in, then I'll do the necessary precautions that I need to take. And I also have two-factor authentication on my account. And I don't know if I'm going to need it for the app. So if that's the case, then I will be looking for that too and taking the necessary precautions too. So, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and unlock my phone.
Messages. 20 unread messages.
And now I'm going to go find Stripe's app.
Page 1 of 4. Adjustable. Page 2 of 4. Stripe.
Okay, let's double tap and open it.
Stripe, text field, is editing, email, character mode, text field, is editing, email, character, sign in, button, password, secure text field.
So, the first screen we come to is the email address and password field.
Text field, is editing, email, character, insertion point.
So, I'm going to go ahead and fill that out. I went ahead and put in the email address.
Password. Password. Secure text field. Insertion point.
Now I double tap the password field and I'll fill that in. I put in my password. Next.
Sign in button.
Let's see what else is here.
Forgot your password button. Passwords button.
Alright. I'm not worried about the passwords button because the keychain doesn't have my password. Sign in.
Error, logging in. No internet connection.
Oh.
Okay, button. Text field.
It says no internet connection. Well, that's because
control center. Wi-Fi.
I had it on airplane mode and I forgot about that. So I just fixed that. Now that I fixed that problem, which I forgot about, let's go ahead and
sign in.
Sign in.
Sign in. Text field is editing. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
Just as I thought, two factor. You all heard the text message coming in, but didn't hear the code. But I'm getting an error.
Okay, button. Your two-factor authentication code was incorrect. Okay, button.
It says my two-factor is incorrect. I entered what I was hearing, so I will check that again.
1-8-0-7-2-4-10.
All right, now.
Gross volume, current period, $30, December 8th to January 4th, previous period, $30, November 10th to December 7th, percentage change, plus 0%.
I'm logged in, and you did hear the code after I had put it in. There's nothing that I can do about that. I didn't know it was going to do that, but that's a one-time code, so I didn't. The goal was not to have it heard while I was entering it. What happens afterward, I'm not going to worry about. And so I'm logged into my account, and it said gross $30. December was $30, and so that's correct. Let's see what else is here.
Today, January 4th, $0.
No money today?
Gross volume, zero. Payments, zero. Customers, page 1 of 2, adjustable, 1 week, button, heading. Selected, 4 weeks, button, heading. 1 year, button, month to date, button, quarter to date, button, heading. Year to date, button, heading.
So this is that chart that I really don't like. Even on the web, and it is valuable. It can, if you use this exclusively, as some companies do, you know, you save on fees and you save on other odds and ends, and you definitely don't need to pay for an invoicing company, because it looks like this can do that too. Although when I started with it as an integrated product with FreshBooks, it definitely was not doing that. So each person is going to have their own needs.
Successful charges, current period, 2. New customers, current period, 0.
I have no new customers.
Period, 0. November 10th, successful charges, current period, 2. December 8th to January 4th, previous period, 2. November 10th to December 7th, percentage change, plus 0%.
And it shows that basically I'm doing two charges a month, and there's really no change. That's all well and good.
New customers, average revenue per customer, current period, $15, December 8th to January 4th, previous period, $15, November 10th to December 7th, percentage change, plus 0%. Tab bar, selected, home, tab, 1 of 5.
So this is the home screen.
Settings, button. The Jared Reimer Network. Edit charts, button.
So I can edit charts, there's settings, and then there's tabs on the bottom. Let's see what the tabs are.
Tab bar, selected, home, tab, 1 of payments, tab, 2 of 5. Customers, tab, 3 of 5, balance, tab, 4 of 5, search, tab, 5 of 5.
All right, so let's see my balance tab.
Balance, tab, 4 of 5. $23.97, $0 in transit. Settings, button. $0 in transit.
$0 in transit. I recently got a payment. I set mine to weekly, even though I probably could go back to every 2 days and it wouldn't matter. By default, when you get your account, it's every 2 days. It's called a rolling every 2 days. So if you get your payments on Monday, it goes to your bank account on Wednesday. Tuesday would be Thursday, Wednesday would be Friday, Thursday would be Saturday, and Friday would be the next Monday, because banks don't post on Sunday. On the weekend, it'll either be Monday or Tuesday, so that's the rolling. You can set up your account to have it deposited on a certain date. you know, once a week, once a month. And I think that's about it. You can't do it once a year. That would be kind of cool. I mean, especially if there's a problem. If you find out within, you know, a 30-day period, you can just refund the money and it doesn't affect you. And so forth. So.
$4.55. $23.90. Payouts. Heading.
So here's the payouts.
$23.90. Payouts. $23.97. Estimated on Monday, January 11th. Wells Fargo Bank. Button.
Now, my bank account is not. It just says Wells Fargo Bank. And it's telling me the estimated date. And January 11th is okay.
$4.55. Deposited on Monday, January 4th. Wells Fargo Bank. Button.
Now that was money that I received after billing somebody.
$28.52. Deposited on Monday, December 7th, 2020. Wells Fargo Bank. Button.
Now that money was after I billed both people. And it turned out because I was on a weekly, and I billed one on Saturday and the other was on like Tuesday or Wednesday, they start running the Monday charges on Friday. And so Friday or Saturday, I think it's Friday, because I ran the charge Saturday and it held for the entire week. I think it honestly depends on the time. It probably would have gone out Friday.
$23.97 deposited on Monday, November 9th, 2020. Wells Fargo Bank. Button.
All right, so you get the idea. Now let's see.
Tab bar. Selected. Balance. Search. Tab. 5 of. Select customers. Tab. Payments. Tab. 2 of 5.
There's payments.
Balance. Tab. 4 of 5. $25 charge. Herbie. Allen at gmail.com. January 2nd.
All right, so there's one charge.
$25 charge. Herbie. $25. $5 charge. MDB. 6.
Alright, I'm hiding that email address. But that's the $5 charge.
$25 charge. Herbie. Allen H.
Alright.
$1 charge uncaptured. MDB.
Now, it says $1 uncaptured because I was running a test after I was able to add this customer and their credit card to the account.
$5 charged. MDB. 6. 5. $30 charged on capture. Card. November 3rd, 2020. Button.
That was a test. It just says card. I didn't put an email address in there. It was mine because I wanted to test something.
$1 charged on capture. Card. November 3rd, 2020.
I believe that was mine too, but you see all the history here. Now let's see what else I have on this screen.
Payments. Heading. $25 charged. Herbie. Allen. Tab bar. Selected. Payments. Tab. Customers. Tab. 3 of 5.
Oh, customers.
Balance. Tab. 4 of 5.
Let's see what's new on the balances, because.
Balance. Heading. Settings. Button.
I gotta figure out if there's a way for me to bill the customer. Now let's see customers.
Tab bar. Customers. Tab. 3 of 5. Customer updated. MDB. 6. 5. 8.
Alright, there's one.
New customer. MDB. New customer. Created by FreshBooks. Do not delete. July 3rd, 2020. Button.
And the other one was created by FreshBooks. And I know who that belongs to.
New customer. Created by FreshBooks. Do not delete. July 3rd, 2020. Button.
And somehow I have two of those.
Customers, heading, settings, button, tab, selected, balance, search, tab, 5 of 5,
search, there's a search tab,
character mode, insert, search the Terra Driver network,
and I can search for various things by the looks of it, but I don't want to do that,
settings, button, search field, is editing, search field, is editing, settings, button,
let's look at settings,
double tap to dismiss, pop, face ID, switch button, pop,
I can turn on face ID,
Face ID. Rate us on the App Store. Button. Support. Button. Open source. Stripe dashboard version 2.4.1. Open source libraries. Button. The Jared Reimer Network. Button. Settings. Heading. Done. Button.
And that's really all the settings I have here?
Search field. Is editing. Search field. Settings. Button. Search the Jared Reimer Network. Queue. Quebec.
Well, let's see something.
Messages. Active.
Let's close that.
Message.
Close that.
Page 1 of 4. Adjust to page 2 of 4. Strike. Strike. Search field. Is editing. Search. Insertion point at start. Settings. Button. Search. Ding. Search. Ding.
Well, I don't want to search, but I can't get out of it.
Is editing. Search. Settings. Button. Search field. Is editing. Search. Insertion point at end. Search field. Is editing. Search. Character. Settings. Button. Search field. Is editing. Search. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
All right, so I'll just search. Let's see if I can search for Herbie.
H. E. R. V.
Nope.
Delete. V. B. I. W. E. Search. Search. Empty list.
And what it did was bring up all of Herbie's stuff.
$20 payment. May 3rd, 2020 at 4:37 p.m. Payment on invoice. $25 payment. January 2nd, 2020. $25 payment. $25 payment.
All right, so that's how the search function works.
Tab bar. Home. Tab. One of. Edit charts. Button. The Jared Reimer Network. Settings. Button. Settings. Button.
Now what happens if I go into settings from here?
Settings. The Jared Reimer Face ID rate is on the App Store. Button. Face ID. Switch button. Settings. Settings for the Jared Reimer Network. Done. Button. Settings. Button. $0. Zero. Loose payment. Gross volume. Gross volume. Zero. Zero. Gross volume. Zero. Today, January 4th.
Alright, I understand that.
Selected. 4 weeks. Button. 1 week. Button. Heading. Select. 1 year. Button. Month. Day. Quarter. Year. Off. Button. Heading. Zero. Customers. Paint. Zero. Customers. Payments.
Let's see if I double tap payments if it...
Payments.
No? Okay.
Tab bar. Selected. Payments. Tab. 2 of 5.
So on the payments screen...
Payments. Heading. $25 charge. Payments. Settings. Button.
It looks like I still have to use the website. That's a little unsettling. I was hoping to capture my payments and add. Now let's see something though.
Tab bar, customers, tab, three, customers, heading, new customer, MDB.
Let's see if I double tap on this one.
Double tap to dismiss pop-up window. Description. Description. Created. Description. Subscription. Create subscription. Payments. Three. Edit. $5. December 28th, 2020. $1. November 3rd. $5. November. Email customer. Button. Share. Button.
I can email the customer from here.
Share. Button.
I can share the customer.
MDD. 6-5. Double tap to dismiss pop-up window. Button. Double tap to dismiss. MDD. Done. Button. Created. October 28th, 2000. Description. Michael Brockwood Austin. Subscription. Create subscription.
I can create a subscription.
Payments. Three. Heading.
But there's really nothing that I can do. I still have to use the website to do that.
MDD. MDD. Done. Button.
Let's try.
New customer. New customer. Created by. New customer. Customer updated. MDD. 6-5-8-5-9-2. New customer. MDD. 6-5-8-5-9-2. Double tap to dismiss pop-up window. Mike description. Michael Brockwood Austin. Create subscription.
Oh, I need to edit that. Okay.
Done. Button.
It's the same one. I'm not exactly sure.
New customer. Created by FreshBooks. Double tap to the created. Description. Created by FreshBooks. Do not delete. Button. This is create subscription. $25, January 2nd, 2000. Payments 3. Heading.
It says payments 3 on that too, so.
Done. Button.
It's mainly to track, by the looks of it, what we have. And it is very, very accessible. I don't have anything bad to say about this app, except for the fact that I thought what I could do is just turn around and bill people with it. There aren't very many settings It doesn't offer me any type of notifications.
Settings button.
I'll set up Face ID.
Face ID. Switch button on.
I'll just turn that on.
Rate us on the App Store button. Support button. Open source libraries button. Stripe dashboard version 2. Log out button. Stripe dashboard version 2.4.1 button.
And it says what version it is.
Settings heading. Done button.
And it's a nice looking app.
New customer created by FreshBooks.
For what it offers me, the ability of checking my billing. And it allows me to sort of make sure that everything looks good, which is nice. I still get emails. I'm going to keep the app around and play with it. And maybe suggest the ability to bill people with it. I mean, it is pretty nice that I could go into it if I was like in the middle of the week or the end of the week, come Friday, and I want to see if I have any scheduled payouts. And it could tell me that without me having to log into the dashboard. But there isn't all that much there. Again, I tried to make it so that the customer information, although Herbie's well known to the network and Michael isn't, I'm not about to give out that email address. You heard MDB or MDB6, but that's all I'm willing to do if I can avoid, getting out information, because that type of information should, in my opinion, not be shared. You hear enough of it to understand what's there. And so, for this app, it's pretty accessible. Every button is labeled. Even the chart is pretty well laid out. But it doesn't look like I can create anything new. But let me see something.
You want to allow Stripe to use Face ID?
Oh, now it's going to ask me if I want it to use Face ID.
Don't allow, but okay. Button.
And I'll say okay.
Try again. Try again. Try Face ID again. But cancel. Button. Try Face ID again. Button. Face ID authenticated.
And it authenticated now.
Tab bar. Payments. Tab.
If I do payments.
$25 charge.
And I do.
Dollar sign. Words. Speaking rate. Containers. Headings. Audio destination. Images. Characters. Words.
Oh, there's no actions here.
$25 charge. Payments. Heading. Payments. Heading. Payments. Heading. Tab bar. Home. Tab. Vertical scroll bar. 5 pages. $20 charge failed. Easy.
Oh, there's a failed charge. Let's look at the failed charge. I want to look at something that's different. So if I double tap.
$10 charge. Visa. 4 bullets. $20 charge failed. Visa. 4 bullets. $8,000. Double tap to dismiss pop-up window. Button.
Let's see what information it gives me.
Date. March 31, 2016 at 9:48 p.m. Button. Fee. $0. Button. Status. Failed. Card was declined. Button.
It tells me failed. Card was declined.
Card. Visa. 4 bullets. $8,546. Button. Learn more about declines. Button. Share. Button. Share. Button.
Learn more and share.
Failed. Card was declined. Button. $20 payment. Heading. Done. Button.
All right. Let's take a look at one success charge.
Refreshing. Rows 1 to 10 of 46. $5 charge. MDB. 6. 5. $25 charge. Double tap to dismiss.
Okay. So.
January 2nd, 2021 at 11:22 p.m. Button.
It shows the time.
Date. January 2nd. Fee. $1.03. Button.
It shows me the fee.
Status. Pay. Button.
It shows me it's paid.
Source. Card. Button. Description. Payment on invoice. 0000452.
It shows me the that it was paid through FreshBooks through an invoice number.
Customer created by FreshBooks. Do not delete cart details. Heading. Country.
And various details on the card. The country is United States.
U.S. Last four.
And it does show last four. And it does give me the opportunity to refund from here, so that's nice.
$25 payment. Heading, done. Button.
But I'm not going to do that.
$5 charge. MDB.
Let's look at the $5 charge,
button. Refund. Button.
Which I could refund.
Country. Last four. Cut card details. Payout deposited on Monday, January 4th. Button.
It shows that the payout was deposited on January 4th for him. And all of that. So it shows that I made the payment on December 28th at 9:29 a.m. and that's correct. The fee was 45 cents from a $5 charge. So it does give me the opportunity to refund, which is nice, because if I did make a mistake and let's say I billed $25, then I could easily come in here and refund the $20 and write in there misstep, and then I could do that. But it doesn't look anywhere like I can do an invoice. No invoices, no new payments for me. But yeah, just looking at it more, because I thought it would be a good idea to look at everything, I can at least do the refunds if I made a mistake. And that's a good thing. I just know that it's time to make a suggestion. So that's the app demo today on the Stripe app. And again, I didn't give out any customers' names. I know Herbie's a staple on the network. He does a show. He's been on numerous podcasts, so his name's not a secret. But Michael in Tennessee, who's also billed through here, his name's not so well known. He did give it out when we were doing some very specific security box stuff, but I'm going back to not calling him by the name that he goes by when we talk about full names. I'm going to go back to referencing him by Michael in Tennessee, which is what he would prefer on the network. Anyway, I hope that you enjoy the demo. Again, it's a nice looking app. I'm happy with it. At least I can do some stuff with it. It is, as I can see, fully accessible. Face ID took effect. And that's sort of the rundown of Stripe, a credit card billing site that allows you to pay by credit card, it's available on, I believe it's Snoot. Well, I don't remember all of the sites that could possibly use it. I know I saw it on one site. It's not Snooster. I believe it's Oh Don't Forget that uses it when you subscribe to their plan. They bill you through Stripe. And to make it a free account, you have to tell it free, and it's an option, and they build the combo box, and that cancels your subscription with them. But it's definitely something that's used throughout the industry. They're PCI DSS compliant. I've never heard of a breach from them. They are state of the art. I had asked them a question, then I figured it out afterward, and I told them I found it. And the representative went looking at my website and was very interested in what I was offering. And they saw that I was disabled, so that was kind of cool. But I'll definitely have to email and tell them, why doesn't this app allow me to do payments? I see my customers, how come I can't do payments? That's the only thing that's missing. But I'm happy to have it, because then I could check my work later, check into my business, and see what's happening. It's very bare bones, but very well done. For the Tech Podcast, I'm Jared Reimer. Podcast 358. Technology Podcast. I'm Jared Reimer. Well, folks, it's been very interesting in the tech field, especially when it has come to Twitter and Facebook and what they're doing or not doing for misinformation and things that have gone on in the election, out of the election. How to protect users from violence and other odds and ends. A lot of people know that recently there was chaos in Washington when the Electoral College and Congress met to determine who was going to be the president. And apparently, Donald Trump decided that he would do what he does on Twitter. He tweeted and told people that if they were not happy about what had been going on, that they should come down. And he also said, from what I have heard and read, that they should be peaceful. Now, Twitter is one of these platforms that has millions and millions of tweets a day, right? And managing that could possibly be a little difficult. You do have a team of people, and they have to do the best they can. And Facebook has policies in place too, and they too have to find a balance. Now, where does this come in tech? Well, As I record this file, it's a Saturday morning here in Los Angeles. It's a little windy. It's about 50, 60 degrees. You know, you could say it's comfortable. Some parts of the country are not so comfortable. In the 20s, 30s, bunches of snow. Maybe not so windy, but very bad weather to say the least. And of course, we've got COVID. And so a lot of people are going to be on Twitter and Facebook so that they can keep up with what's going on. And so, you know, Trump has been a little bit irritated with the way the election was handled, and he's made baseless accusations without any proof, although I can't say that there may have been some fraud in the election. And one of my guys has said, there's been fraud in the election for many, many years. It has never been, you know, a true election in the sense of the word. There's always been some sort of problem. And it makes sense. But the technology companies have to find a balance, right? They're not going to get everything right. And I don't know if they could ever get it right. Could they be paid to say something that should be taken down, but they're paid to keep it up? Now, from what I've heard, Donald Trump's Facebook has been suspended until he leaves office. And Twitter put a ban on his account, at least for 24 hours, although from what I heard, they did not see any tweets as of the day after. I also heard something that said Donald Trump's Twitter has been permanently banned. And Apple News also reported that violence could still erupt, even though Donald Trump is no longer on Twitter, at least for now. Now, I don't want to turn this into a politics discussion, but for the technology podcast side of things, not as a security standpoint, but as a company trying to do the best that they can with millions and millions of tweets and millions and thousands of posts, I'll open it up to discuss how they are to find that balance. If they're trying to prevent misinformation, which is information that's completely wrong. Now, they talk about disinformation, and I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Maybe the words are interchangeable. You know, there has to be a balance. And I find it interesting that when I've read articles in regards to all of this, from CyberScoop recently, and I'll be posting those to the blog for people to read. We come up with the fact that Mr. Trump has been violating policies for quite a while. In fact, in 2020, when Twitter had the famous hack that started out the security box, he was allowed to continue to tweet as a verified customer, if you will. But people like Steve Gibson, who runs security now, was unable to do so. There were other verified users that were also unable to tweet. And I think they even made it so that a lot of unverified users could not tweet either, while they tried to figure out what the deal was. Now, I don't know about you all, but if I were to run a service like Twitter, like Facebook, you know, like LinkedIn, and somebody violated my terms of service, I wouldn't give it a second thought. I would kick them off. Yes, they can rail at me. They can say how bad I am. They can say how, quote, unquote, fucked up I am for deleting them when there's something in the United States, at least, called free speech. But one thing that I am not going to tolerate, if I were to run such a service, is all of this hateful speech that might cause havoc. Now, instead of turning this into politics, they did have to stop the recount of the votes from the Electoral College because they had to leave. Congress and whoever was responsible for that had to leave where they were in the Capitol in Washington because of what it was that was going on. And I don't know about you all, but I think it's time that we tell technology companies what we want to see and what we don't. And while they did block information that later came out to be true, i.e. the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, I think at that particular time they were trying to do the best they could. Now, I don't sit and read everything that comes across my Twitter. I'm not on Twitter's website. I follow a bunch of people. And if something interests me, then I'll read it. If it doesn't interest me, then I don't read it. I see a lot of retweets from people, and I'll either read them or I won't. And that's the beauty of it. Now, I don't go on to Facebook much, but the same thing applies. If something were to interest me from somebody that I follow, I'll read it. If I want to comment, I'll comment on it. LinkedIn, the same thing. I don't really participate on these networks. You know, LinkedIn, I post my blogs and I post things that I'm probably going to send to it anyway. And if people want to comment on it and start a discussion, that's great. But I don't post my life on Twitter, my life on Facebook. You know, hopefully in 2021, Braille 2000 can get back into a routine and we can talk about releases and we can talk about, you know, going to conferences and showing off Braille 2000 and traveling, you know, the country to get the word out about the product that is. And so 2020, we sort of couldn't do anything with Braille 2000 like I would have hoped because of COVID. But I'm not going to sit there on Braille 2000's Twitter account and gripe because we couldn't do all of these things. There's just some ethics that need to be kept in mind. And you've never seen me do that. I've gone and tweeted that we're still available. I left it for months because I knew that people weren't really doing anything. But I tweeted recently and said, it's a new year. We're still around. We still have a product here. So if anybody's interested, tweet us. Let us know. I'm not going to spam Twitter with links every day to the website to tell people to go over there or post something or do something that could get me into trouble. You know, one of my buddies, he sent me an email thanking me for buying music, and he said, I'm not on Twitter right now because something happened. I asked him, he's like, well, I said something they didn't like. Well, okay. You know, it happens. I don't think it's intentional. The person's name isn't a big to-do. I'm not going to mention it. But people's accounts on Twitter get suspended for some reason or another every day. I even had to do that last year, twice. Although the second time, I really didn't have to because when I got to it, the account was already suspended. But the blatant violation of Twitter rules on the first account were the reason why I sent them to Twitter in the first place. I'm not trying to be a jackass. I don't report much, if hardly at all. It's not my job. But somebody followed me, and I knew who they were, and I knew who they were about. And I was looking at their Twitter, and I was discussing it with people and saying, what is this? And it turned out that I looked at Twitter's terms, and it said very specific things, which I wouldn't do anyway, like no direct threats toward people, no, you know, threats of harming people, no putting out, you know, personal information, you know, name, address, phone number, etc. And the person involved did it anyway. And so I sent a bunch of stuff that I knew clearly violated those rules and reported it. And within a day, he was gone. I've never done that before. And I hope I don't have to do it again. But how long can someone like Donald Trump or anybody else who does such a thing get away with it? When we talked on the technology podcast about Trump, we talked about the hotels, the fact they were breached, the fact that Donald Trump or anybody at the hotel chain said nothing until the third time that that happened. Why are you going to wait three times getting breached somehow before you come out and say, yes, we had a breach? And then when he became president, his mouth kept getting him into trouble. His tweets kept getting him into trouble. The news was talking about it all. It's all bad publicity. The news looks for that. I don't want to look for that. I wanted to see what he was capable of doing. And sure, he may have done some very good things. But if he clearly lost the election, which it's already been confirmed that he did lose the election, then he's got to let the next people come in and we will see how they do. I'm not going to sit here and trash the president because of what he's done or not done. But he's clearly violated rules. And if that means that he goes around and tells people, oh, come down here and show your displeasure, and somebody gets killed, then he has it coming to have his account suspended on any platform he's doing that crap on. Just like I did with one person on Twitter. And yes, I knew who they were. And yes, I knew who the other person was. But it was a clear violation of rules, and Twitter's let Trump get away with it too long. Facebook's let him get away with it too long. Facebook said they would give him back his account after he left office. And that's in at least a couple of weeks of the time I'm recording this file, and I'm sure I'll get the podcast out before the 20th of January. I'm pretty positive of that. So when you're hearing this, you'll know when the podcast is released, and you will figure out the days. But Mr. Trump leaves on the 20th, unless he puts up a fight. If he does, well, we'll deal with it. But at least on the social media side, he's got a lot to think about. Or maybe he's one of these that just doesn't care about rules. You know, he's in his 60s or 70s. And he knows he doesn't have a long time left. And, you know, he's either done something or not. But the whole point of the discussion is to talk about the social media aspect of rules and, you know, what's fair and when should we be kicking people off because they blatantly get people to, you know, either commit a crime or do violence or hurt people or whatever. That's the point. of this discussion on this podcast. This is podcast 358 of the Tech Program. Welcome to the Tech Podcast, podcast 358. I think one more segment will do for today's program. What do you guys think? I think this segment is more appropriate on this version of the program and not the security box. I will be talking about another version of this podcast on the security box, which will be released midweek. The podcast is entitled Darknet Diary. And I was looking in the technology section of Overcast, a podcast app that Herbie gave me because I was telling him what was going on with the podcast app I was using, which was Apple Podcasts, which had been on my phone since I got the phone in 2014. And I was telling him what it was doing, and he was telling me, you know what, I use this app. And it's very accessible. I've got no problems using it, and I was looking for something different. So I found this podcast called Darknet Diaries. And so I read the description and I thought, this is interesting. And as the guy said at the end of the episode I'm about to talk about, it's not just about the darknet, but it's about the dark side of things that people may not want to talk about, such as what I'm about to talk about today, or even not so dark things, like what's going to be discussed in a very short segment for podcast 27 of the Security Box. It's not always going to be dark, but it's sort of a diary of various things. There are 82 episodes now. It seems to be a weekly show, and it covers all sorts of stuff. The website for them is darknetdiaries.com. Now, with that out of the way, I had picked this evening being the 10th of January to listen to a very interesting story. It's a true story about a gentleman who they called V and his going on in the darknet. Now, I found this very interesting because you never really hear the stories. We covered the Silk Road's closure on this podcast, and we covered some darknet stuff, but you really don't get behind the scenes. Brian Krebs does a very interesting job covering it, and I give him props for doing that. He covered both Silk Roads, and we talked about Dread Pirate Roberts and his arrest back then. Now, I do have the podcast still available, so if you find the show notes on Silk Road and you want a copy of the podcast, please let me know and I will get you a copy of the podcast for Silk Road. Now, I'm not going to link to this episode of Darknet Diaries like I'm going to link to it on the security box for podcast 27, because I don't want to just link to episodes. You can go find them. And there's a very specific reason why I link to the next episode. I want people to listen to it because it's very informative about the Zero Day Initiative, which we've also talked about on this podcast well before the security box was ever thought up. So on this episode, they interview this guy who went from selling drugs, let's say on the street, to selling them online. Now, he wasn't a seller on the streets, he was a buyer. And he sold some to some close people, but he was mainly a buyer. And what's interesting about this whole story was his idea on how to be as secure as possible. This particular episode talked about a whole bunch of stuff, like a version of an operating system that would actually work off of a USB drive and when the computer was shut down, it left no trace. He memorized every single passphrase. They talked about Bitcoin. And they talked about a whole bunch of stuff that is just absolutely mind-boggling. Now, the passcodes to a lot of this stuff is very, very lengthy. What'd they say it was? Like 64 characters? And so he came up with a passphrase which would unlock it. He had a Bitcoin wallet. He talked about where he went to go get cash for his Bitcoin. And what turned out interesting was when he finally got the person to meet so that he can get the cash, it turned out there was a woman at the table. Yes, gender doesn't play a part in the underground, and you never know where they're going to be. Turned out the woman was like an hour from his location where he was staying, and they agreed to meet halfway, only after he selected mail-in. So you would mail the cash, and then you would send the Bitcoin. Now, I've heard stories of cash getting lost in the mail, and that's not necessarily the safest way. But hey, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do it. Now, this guy is only in his early 20s. He currently still has a couple of years left of probation. And he could have gotten 10 years. And on top of that, he got snitched on. The feds ended up picking up the person who was providing him the drugs that he was selling on these darknet marketplaces. And did it very successfully. Sent out samples. Got buys. And the whole story was quite fascinating. The security aspect is even more interesting on how he was able to memorize everything. He was able to memorize all of these different passphrases and keep them all straight. even including logging on to the operating system. Now, I want everybody to go look this up if this is of interest, because when you understand how something like this can happen, you're very successful, and then eventually you get picked up, and finding out you can face 5, 10, 20 years in prison, it really makes you think. And I was laying on my bed listening to this. I mean, I didn't go to sleep. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap. This guy started pretty much in high school buying and selling and hanging out with people who were, shall we say, not the friendliest characters. They were good enough, but, you know, they probably were not the best choice, if you will. And then he started selling underground using Tor. They talked about Tor quite a bit. Is it better to use it through a VPN where the VPN knows that you entered Tor? Or is it better that your ISP knows that you entered Tor? No matter what, Tor is the best way to go. He had told the story of how somebody was able to buy an apartment for him, so it wasn't even under his name, so if they came by, it wasn't technically his. And the security he took was just absolutely amazing. The whole entire episode is 81 minutes. And it's definitely worth the listen, because while I don't want to tell the entire story and I didn't sit up here and write down notes on everything that I could have possibly talked about, that's not really the point. I want to introduce something to the listeners that could possibly be educational. And I really think that something like a story like this and what the podcast has to offer might be able to be educational, even if I don't talk about everything that I hear. There's a lot of different podcasts, and I'm sure that I could talk about a lot of things that I have heard in podcasts. Like, for example, the One Freedom Scientific podcast that the app picked up, which was the December episode, had two very interesting interviews. One was a student of the month and a girl who was in high school that ended up being a student of the month because she did some stuff for Freedom Scientific they weren't impressed with, to a guy who is now working at Freedom Scientific, although he's back in the Netherlands, but came to the United States and actually was involved in one of Jaws' features in regards to Bluetooth and audio there for Jaws. There's just so much to talk to and talk about that that's not feasible, if you will. I just gave you the Jaws example as a point of what we could be talking about all over the podcast world, but I don't want to be talking about everything I hear. But I think for this segment, the most important thing we can take out of it is this. If you choose to check out the podcast and you learn something and you think that it should be brought up on any one of these podcasts, this one or the tech podcast known as the Security Box, then feel free to bring it up. You know, if you listen to these other podcasts, you're like, you know, I want to talk about this. I heard it here, but I want to form my opinion here because and talk about what I heard and why I was interested in it. You know, I think that's fair enough. You know, if we can teach people what the darknet has and we can tell them about a podcast that has a story from somebody who's been there, that's great too. Now, the guy said something very interesting. He said, we didn't sell a lot of heroin. We mainly sold cocaine. I always worried when we did heroin because you could overdose on that. And I worried about that. But most of the time we didn't do cocaine. Now could you hear that on some other podcast and talk about it and go, you know, this guy was brave and did all of this stuff and the feds still found him. He was on probation and he flew back from a rehab center. And was pretty much arrested right then and there. And they even said, you'll get 10 years. We've already got your guy. And the guy even called him. They probably had his phone, which is why they were able to find him. I think the last thing I would do was to call my buddies whom I've dealt with and say, I just got picked up. And you should watch yourself. That's pretty much what the guy said. It stuck with me. It's like, why would you do that? If they're going to take your phone, the last thing you want to do is call some of your other people, right? I mean, the story itself was rather interesting. Like I said, I don't want to rehash every little bit of it. So it'll be episode 81. You could search it out, you can listen to it, and you can let me know what you think. A true heroic story of how the darknet really works from somebody who's been there, who actually sold. I think he did it for several months and he was told to stop by a certain date by his own mother, who kind of knew that something wasn't right. I don't know about you all, but if I were to do such a thing and my father was alive, my dad would say something to the effect of, son, I don't want to see you get in trouble, so you're going to stop right now. And I'm going to come over and see that you shut everything down. I could imagine him saying. And I would have to comply. I've never done such a thing. I don't know how the darknet works. I don't know how Tor works. I understand it's accessible. But I don't know how it works. I've got no idea. I know somebody who does. I've asked him to come on the podcast to talk about it, and he hasn't done it yet. I actually think that would be a good education. I would mainly have it as an educational piece, not as a, I want you to do stuff. I know what's out on the dark net. I've read Crabs on Security, and we've covered a lot of it as conversational pieces. Just like this segment is, a conversation piece. So feel free to check out the website and the episode. It's going to be episode 81 of Darknet Diaries at darknetdiaries.com. I want to hear what you guys think of it. And no, I don't have permission to play it, so I cannot play this podcast like I could segments of Security Now, where they said keep it intact as long as you know you tell them where you got it from and you keep everything intact, then you could play it. So I do that, but I don't have that blanket permission with these guys because I just started with them. Now in the show notes, there's a link to contact the guy. And I tell you what, it really made me think about what you have to do to keep yourself anonymous and how to keep yourself as safe as possible so the feds don't pick you up. And he almost successfully did it. If the person that he was buying things from hadn't told on him. But then I think he was sort of forced to. You know how the feds could be. Tell us so you're going to get this much time for all of that. To reduce your sentence, you cooperate. It was talked about. And the guy in this story did that too. What a harrowing story it is. And I think it's something that should be talked about and shared. A true story from the darknet. For the Technology Podcast, I'm Jaron Reimer. That's going to do it for this podcast, everybody. I'm Jaron Reimer. Email, iMessage, tech. That's T-E-C-H at menvi.org. If you would like to text me or WhatsApp me, you can do that. The number is 804-442-6975. I hope to be back with another edition of the Technology Blog and Podcast very soon. And until then, thanks so much for listening.